If you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 12. And for those of you who are our guests, we're going verse by verse through the Gospel of Luke. And last week, we came to a large section of Jesus teaching his disciples. And I began our study of Luke 12 by reminding you, if you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, you and I have been called to follow the way. That was the description the Apostle Paul used of those who were disciples of Jesus. They followed the way. In other words, being a Christian is more than just having faith in Jesus Christ. It's about having your life changed so that you follow a path or a certain way of life. Now, we began last week by showing you how Jesus said, we who follow him should walk without greed. That's totally different than the way the world lives. Now, today, I'm going to show you that Jesus says, those of us who love him should stop worrying. Let's begin reading in Luke chapter 12. And verse 22. And Jesus said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life, as to what you will eat, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Now, in a moment, I'm going to show you that the emphasis Jesus puts on us is to focus on the internal and to forget the external. Life, your life, is more important than the food you eat. Your soul is more important than the clothes you wear. Let's continue. Consider, Jesus says, the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. Jesus was a master teacher. And so when he would teach, he would point to the things around him. Things that the Jews, his disciples, were very familiar with. The lilies of the field, the ravens of the air. And of course, when he mentions Solomon, every Jew would have known who he was talking about. Now, we in the Western world today, we're not familiar with Solomon, but to the Jewish mind, King Solomon was the greatest king the Jews ever had. He was the epitome of wealth, the epitome of riches. But Jesus says, listen, these birds, these fields, Solomon, I'm telling you, he didn't have as much as the birds and the lilies of the field. And they don't worry about what they have. Why are you worrying? Let's go on. If God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink. And do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. Every person in this auditorium comes today with different experiences in life right now at this moment in time. I look at Charlie Van Boskirk, one of my heroes. His wife is dying of cancer. She's in the nursing home, terminal. And so Charles comes today and his heart is at a different place than ours. In the early service, Jim Hill was here. He lost his wife this week. It was the first service without her. I think of a 95-year-old Watermelon Campbell, who also was in the earlier service. He's got the Railroad Museum, and it's got more historical things in it than you can imagine. And his mind is pondering what's going to happen when the Lord calls him home to that museum. Many of you are businessmen. Others of you are housewives, moms, and you've got a child who's ill. You businessmen, you've got businesses that you're worried about. Listen, we all come here with different things on our minds. But Jesus is telling us, stop worrying. Now here's the thing. For somebody to say, even Jesus, stop worrying. It sounds simple, but that is so hard. Worry is a little bit like fear. You've got to drive it out with something. You've got to replace it with something else. It's like a little kid who is afraid of what's under the bed. You can just say, don't be afraid, but that doesn't help. What you've got to do is you've got to show him what's under the bed. You've got to replace what's in his mind with something else. To stop worrying, you've got to push out worry with truth. And this is exactly what Jesus does for his disciples. He tells them the truth. And I want to show you what he says this morning. First, you and I can only stop worrying when we put our focus on what Jesus calls inner work. Stop forgetting about the externals and start thinking about what's going on inside of you. Now, the Bible is filled with all kinds of references about the grace of God for internal work. How about this one from David? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. How many times have we ever gone into our prayer closets and asked God to bless our soul? Everything within me. Most of the time when we pray, we're praying for us to meet that financial deadline, for us to have enough in our retirement, for our kids to be able to go to college. We're thinking about these things that we think are so necessary. And Jesus comes along and he says, now wait a minute, your life is more important than the externals. Your soul is more important than what you see. How about this one, Jesus speaking? Let not your heart be troubled. In the world, you will have tribulations. Notice again, the emphasis is on the heart. You and I must have an internal focus. Jesus says it in our text, verse 22. Don't worry about the externals. Life is more than food. Your person more than clothing. In other words, worry will never end until we first come to the place of focusing on our hearts, on the internal work of grace within us. In the prayer meeting this morning with the staff, I read for them, quoted for them, Ephesians 5, where the Apostle Paul says, let all bitterness and anger and wrath and envy and jealousy be put away from you, and be filled with the Spirit. How many times do we pray like that? Father, I'm really struggling right now in my heart with bitterness. Bless, Lord, my soul. Give grace to my heart. You see, if all we're thinking about is the external and not what is going on within, will never begin the process of getting rid of worry. If you're worried about tomorrow, but you haven't given a thought about your heart, you'll never find worry disappear. Now, in our text, I see that the goal is to stop worrying. Jesus tells us this in verse 22. He turns to his disciples and he says, guys, stop worrying. But then, I want you to understand something. If you're here this morning and you're filled with worry, anxiety, there's no guilt if you're now worrying. Because the disciples seem to have been people who themselves worried. In fact, if you drop down to verse 29, notice what Jesus says. He tells his disciples, do not keep worrying. In other words, he's saying, guys, I understand you're worrying. Stop it. Don't continue in it. So, I've got to ask again the question. How do we stop worrying? How do we cease continuing in it? It's an internal work. And let me show you what must happen. The inner work that must take place in my life comes from God stabilizing my doubtful mind. I love the King James Version of the Bible. I memorized the King James Version in English when I was growing up. Now, I'm reading from the New American Standard, but I went back to the King James to read the words of Christ, and I really liked what he said in verse 29 to his disciples. He says, don't be ye of doubtful mind. Cease worrying by stop being of doubtful mind. The word doubtful here speaks of unstableness. It's a mind that is shaky, that is not firm. The internal work that God must do within me to stop me from worrying is my mind has got to change. Worry is a little like interest to debt. Interest to debt is extracted from you up until the deadline. Worry is like interest to debt when it comes to fear. It extracts from you all these types of mind-shaking events. You are doubtful of mind, and it keeps pulling at you. And Jesus comes along to his disciples and he says, stop. Stop being of doubtful mind. It reminds me of the lady who was always worried about a burglar in her house. Every night, she'd go to bed with her husband beside her, but she couldn't sleep because she always thought somebody was going to rob them. About 10 years of sleepless nights, the husband heard something downstairs. And he went down, and sure enough, there was a burglar. He said, happy to meet you. I'd like for you to come upstairs and meet my wife. She's been wanting to meet you for 10 years. That's a little bit like worry. It extracts from you all kinds of doubtful things before the deadline comes. Now watch. The only way I ever get rid of worry is to change my mind. I've got to be firm, first of all, about God's goodness and mercy to me. This is what Jesus is saying throughout this text. Guys, take a look at the ravens. Look at the lilies. The ravens don't have any storage sheds nor barns. The lilies, they don't worry about how they're going to be clothed. But I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like these lilies. Guys, how much more valuable are you to the Father than these lilies and these birds? Guys, do you know why you and I worry? Our minds are unstable about how valuable we are to God. And it is only the message of grace that will stamp out worry in your mind. You say, but Pastor, just a moment now. I'm so unfaithful. God doesn't like me. I mean, if I were better, if I were a better Christian, a better father, a better husband, if I were a better wife, a better mother, then maybe I wouldn't worry so much. I just don't think God likes me because of my infidelity to Him. What does the message of grace say to us? He abides faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. When you come to the place of understanding that God in His love and grace for you has chosen to begin a good work in you through Jesus Christ, and He will carry it on until the day you see Christ face to face, then you can rest in His faithfulness even when you find yourself unfaithful. Whoa. Have you ever considered that maybe the seed that flowers into worry is an unstable mind about your value to God? Second, I need to be firm about the way that I should live my life. Here's what I mean by that. Until you are convinced that the way Jesus calls you to live is the best way, you'll never drive out worry from your life. As long as you are of unstable mind about the way to live and refuse to come to Christ and say, Christ, what would you have me do? You will always be plagued with worry. It's what Solomon meant when he said in the book of Proverbs, the righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no one pursues. You remember the Apostle Paul? In Galatians chapter 1, he described how he lived his life. I have not conferred with any human being. Do you know what that means? Paul went to Christ. Christ, what would you have me do? And it didn't make any difference if the world told him something completely opposite. He didn't ask them. He asked Christ. When you come to the place of knowing that what Christ says in His Word is always best for you, worry is driven out like when a flashlight drives out darkness. For example, somebody wrongs you and hurts you. What does Christ say? You forgive that person the way I've forgiven you. Now, the world tells you to strike back. Jesus says to turn the other cheek. Until you get to the place of listening to Christ, you will find that worry has a way of creeping into your thought processes. Third, I need to be firm about the importance of the eternal over the temporal. This is what Jesus is saying throughout this text. Why are you focusing on the external? I'm doing a work within you. Your life, your soul is more important than what you wear and what you eat and your future finances. Trust me on those things and ask me to continue the work I'm doing within you. Listen to what the Bible says about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed and he went out. By faith, Abraham lived as a stranger in the land of promise, as in a foreign land dwelling in tents, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Until you can come to the place, until I can come to the place of saying, okay, you know what? I'm an alien and a stranger to this life. I have an eternal home, and that whatever comes my way in this life is only preparation for the next. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, when our house is torn down here, we have a building from God, eternal in the heavens. People who are full of worry have not met the one who gives us the way. The one who gives us the way says, listen, follow me, trust me, let me do an internal work within you, conforming you into the person I am, and everything else that the world worries about is yours without even thought. I close by showing you this. When you and I are convinced of the love of God for us, it gives us power to overcome the world. This is how Jesus ends our text in verse 30 and verse 31. Listen to what he says. After describing what it means not to worry about food and clothing and the future, all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. Guys, I don't know how to be any clearer than what Jesus said in Luke 12. Are you worried about your job when you get out? Are you worried about how you're going to meet payroll? Are you worried about the future? Jesus says, don't worry. Stop worrying. Focus on the internal. Focus on your heart. Ask me to bless you within. Understand what the way is all about. Seek my kingdom. And all of these other things that the nations worry about, they're yours. And no thought is even given to it. Now, you know what a kingdom is, don't you? It's a king's dominion. That's the word. Here's the thing. When Jesus has dominion in my life, and I am confident and sure in my mind, I am stable in my thoughts, that I'm more valuable to God than the birds who are fed and the fields that are clothed. When I am stable in my mind of knowing that the best way to live my life by far is to follow the way, everything else ends in disaster. But Jesus tells me how to live. And I've conferred with no human being. I'm conferring with him. When I seek his dominion in my life, what am I worried about? What am I worried about? He's going to take care of me. He is going to take care of me. You say, but Pastor, I have read about people who knew Christ and were tortured and died for their faith. Yes, I have too. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Do you know what those people were doing when they were burned at the stake? They were singing hymns. Why? Because God had answered their prayer. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You see, here's the thing. Facebook is filled with people who are complaining about politics. Facebook is filled with people who are afraid about the future. Social media is filled with the people of the nations of this world who are complaining about tomorrow. Our King tells us to stop worrying, to live the way, to let him reign in our lives, and everything else that the nations seek, they're ours, without even giving thought to them. Easier said than done, right? Well, of course it is. The disciples were worrying. Your pastor worries. But I'm glad that Jesus tells us how to stop. It's a matter of getting our minds straight and stable. We're valuable to Him. We only care what He says. We will live that way. And everything else that the world worries about, He takes care of. This is amazing. Now the question is, will you and I live it out? Let's pray.